Questions are all around us.
Learn.
Why is liquid cold?
Learn.
What is maths?
Learn.
Why does this, ow, hurt?
Learn.
What is the Enlightenment?
I don't know.
And now, thanks to the University of Auckland, it's time to ready, steady, learn.
Right on. One of the things that we don't know about is how being an obese mother affects the child. And the obese mother is carrying and then birthing and then growing up and looking after. So help us know what's going on with that. Claire Reynolds is our guest. Hi, Claire, how are you?
Hello, how are you?
You're a senior research fellow at the Liggins Institute.
Indeed.
Can you help us find out a little bit more about what being an obese mum could mean to the future of this nation, perhaps?
So I think it's pretty evident that there's a huge obesity problem in New Zealand and
worldwide, isn't it, really?
Yeah, worldwide, yeah. Everywhere. So our research focuses looking at how obesity in the mother affects the long-term disease risk of the child. So we know that obese women are more likely to have high blood pressure, high blood glucose and things like that, and that can have a negative impact on the growing fetus. So what happens is, as you become more and more pregnant, your blood sugar generally rises so it can feed the fetus. But in an obese mother, this is completely much higher than in a normal or a non-obese mother, which means that the fetus is getting lots more glucose. So it's basically sitting in the mother, taking in all this sugar. So by the time it's born, it's actually already
sugar dependent, sort of thing.
Yeah, sort of. They have increased fatty tissue, and it's hard to come back from that. So one of the things that we do in the Liggins is we look at how we can intervene to try and prevent this from happening. We know that the earlier you intervene, the more likely you are to have a meaningful result. So if we intervene during pregnancy or early life, we have a chance of pulling back the negative effects, which can be obesity and diabetes in the child.
This is quite a high figure, but it says that there's a 65% of New Zealand women of reproductive age, not that are necessarily reproducing, but of reproductive age, are overweight or obese. Yeah. 65% is quite a lot.
Quite
of
high,
women.
And I think that's fairly common worldwide, that we have such high obesity rates. And I think one of the problems is we don't even see overweight as overweight anymore, because our perception of obesity and overweight are changing. So it's quite hard, and it's quite a touchy subject as well.
Yes, because at the other end of the spectrum, you've got a terribly high figures of eating disorders
and
people's perception of what they think is their healthy.
Yeah,
ideal, is different and sometimes influenced by the strangest and most inappropriate things, you know?
Yeah, and it can have a negative impact on your mental health. So, I mean, people are very reluctant to kind of approach people and say, look, you're overweight. But I think people are more and more aware that there are quite negative implications of this. I mean, the obesity rates are rising, and along with that are the complications that are associated with obesity. So we have a lot of high blood pressure and diabetes, and this is only set to soar over the next couple of decades, and we really need to start intervening now. But it's quite hard to intervene once you are already in that state. So our feeling is that if you can intervene at a very early stage without impacting the kind of the mental health of the individual, you'll have a more meaningful result long term.
We hear a lot about healthy fats, and one of the things that you are looking into is conjugated linoleic acid.
Yeah, so CLA is...
Oh, CLA, up at the uni, that's what we call it, CLA.
It's something that I've worked on for a long time in terms of obesity and also now in terms of pregnancy. So CLA is a healthy fat. So we've all heard of the omega-3s. So it's along the same line as that. It's anti-inflammatory. So it's mainly found in beef and dairy products from cattle that are fed in grass rather than grain, which is particularly pertinent for New Zealand, given the way that farming occurs here. So actually...
So it's found in the grass... as opposed to grain?
No, it's found in the beef products of cows that are fed grass, as opposed to, say, a grain-fed diet. So New Zealand actually has one of the highest rates of CLA in its beef.
Right.
So it's anti-inflammatory, and it's known to be anti-obesity as well. So our theory was, if we fed the mother's CLA. It could bring back some of the negative effects of obesity, reduce inflammation in these mothers, as obesity is associated with a state of like low-grade inflammation, that kind of...
Is CLA found anywhere else other than in beef? Or in?
So it's found in ruminant animals. So any animals that have...
Chewy animals.
Chew their cats.
Exactly, that's it, exactly. It's found in their produce. So we fed our mothers this...
I can't remember the last time I ate any ruminant animal.
Oh.
You don't really eat the cloven of hoof, do you?
Oh. No, I don't.
Do you drink milk?
Very little milk.
Oh. Do you like cheese?
Now and then. I'm not picking it, so I'm just wondering whether I'm...
Should we be worried about Mike? Should we be giving him
some... Well, I'm not
CLA?
A pregnant woman, for a start, but at the same time, I do carry a bit of extra weight.
Well, it's not an essential nutrient. It's just something that we'd like to supplement and see if it has a positive effect.
Yeah, and how's it going? How far through are we with this?
Yeah, so we've just finished one study, and we saw in the offspring of these mothers that they had less weight gain. They were metabolically more healthy, which meant they had lower blood sugar, they had lower blood pressure. So they were healthier all round than the animals who'd just been fed a high-fat diet. So it seemed to have a beneficial effect. So I think with animal studies, you need to take it with a little bit of a pinch of salt, because animals are not humans. So I think the next step is to try and bring it forward into a human situation. So it's quite hard to do that, because we don't know the effects on the fetus for a lot of these compounds.
What's the technique for that? Where do you have to get it to before you try it out on humans?
Oh, you have to make sure that there's no harm done to the animals themselves, so that there's no negative implications of feeding them this nutrient. The thing with nutritional studies in animals is that you're just feeding them something that, you know, a human might eat anyway. So beef or dairy is something that's commonly eaten by a lot of people.
So it's very unlikely it's going to be harmful to humans, though, isn't it? Is that right?
We'd hope so. Yeah, it's a nutrient, so it's something that's naturally found in stuff that people are eating anyway. So you'd want to start off with just increasing the amount of beef or dairy.
Do you need to hear from mums that maybe might want to be involved in this, or how do you sort of?
Not at the moment. I mean, we've just finished the animal study, so we're trying to work up the results from that, just to kind of get a whole picture of what's happening.
There's some interesting results you had here where rats were received a high diet and saturated fat supplemented with the CLA you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And it turns out their children were lighter and healthier than the mothers who didn't receive the CLA. Mm-hmm. And different effects for different genders of the babies.
It's actually something we see a lot, where males and females can have dramatically different effects. So with this particular study, we saw that the male offspring had reduced weight and they had reduced blood sugar, whereas the females, while they didn't have those effects, they stayed the same weight as the high-fat animals. We did see that they had beneficial effects in terms of their fertility and their fatty profile in their blood.
That seems pretty positive on both sides, then, doesn't it? Surely.
Yeah, I mean, it
because I guess would it be right in thinking that the females, you know, having reduced blood cholesterol is good.
Yeah.
And they maybe need the fat stores and the blood sugar and stuff that the males wouldn't need, because the females are incubating children, perhaps maybe in the future.
Possibly, and I think it's really important to look at both, because we do see different effects. Like a lot of biomedical research only looks at males, and that's only getting half the picture. So a lot of drugs and treatments that we see are based on studies from male animals, which is really bad, because we don't know what the effects are in females. So I think it's really, really important to actually address the kind of gender imbalance in scientific studies and make sure that everyone does males and females, because there are such dramatic effects.
Awesome. Okay, thank you very much for coming in, Claire.
No,
that's Claire Reynolds, Senior Research Fellow from the Liggins Institute.
That was Ready, Steady, Learn, thanks to the University of Auckland, the best university.